You're listening to the Abundant Parent Podcast, helping you heal your dialogue with yourself, empower your kids, and create abundance in your life. In this episode, I welcome an expert guest from one of my earliest monthly workshops. Welcome, Abundant Parents. I have Julia here today to talk all about nutrition for parents. We're so busy. It's so hard for us oftentimes to just get food in our mouth. She's really going to talk about snacks and snacking and how we can really make the most of when we are actually getting the food in our mouth, making the most of what we're putting in our bodies. So Julia, I was hoping maybe you could talk a little bit about your background and what got you into nutrition.
Sure. Hi, everybody. Nice to meet you. I started off in my career working for a medical weight loss facility in New York, where I'm from, but I just was finding that what I believed in wasn't really aligning, and I just felt like there's got to be something better than this, and that's kind of when I moved to Denver and decided I was going to start my own business, and it's been about 3 years now, and things are going well. In terms of personal background, you know, I've been overweight. I lost 60 pounds, and I think that really triggered me to want to help other people have that same type of transformation. But on the flip side, I was also underweight as a teenager. I took it a little bit too far, and I really struggled to find a balance in terms of, you know, how can I not be overeating, but then how can I stop being so restrictive and really find that middle ground of, you know, accepting myself and loving myself and giving myself, you know, the foods that I need to stay nourished. And so I was like, okay, I need to find their own balance and that middle ground of how can I still enjoy the foods I love and be social and live a social life and a busy life, but then still make progress towards my goals. And so that's kind of what prompted me to start my business. And now I, for the most part, help my clients lose fat, keep it off, and heal disease through nutrition and functional medicine. So lifestyle change and nutrition.
And when we met earlier, we were talking about there's really four basic snacking types. Mm-hmm. And so we broke those down for you all, and we did put them in the group so that you could see what the four main snacking types were and what category you fell under. And for me, I actually fell under two categories because it kind of changed from day to day. Tell us a little bit about those four snacking types.
Yeah. You guys might find that you do fall into some categories some days and other categories other days, and you don't have to put yourself in a box whatsoever. It was just for you to be mindful of kind of what's occurring majority of the time. Number one is, we say, the overeater. The way that I like to describe it is just have a hard time stopping. You know, you eat until you feel too full and just not really able to control that. And then there's the forgetful eater. Forgetful eater is someone that just like forgets to eat, which I'm always like, how do you forget? You know, my body's always screaming when it's hungry, but I have a lot of clients that are like, I'm so busy, I don't even think about it. And I look up and it's 3 o'clock and I haven't eaten a thing. And so that is that forgetful eater that just, they don't remember.
I do that on hectic days for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So that's forgetful. And then we have emotional eater, which I would say my clients fall hugely into the emotional eating category. Emotional eating can be out of sadness. It can be out of happiness. It can be out of so many different things. So,
and you might be addressing this later, but like, I know for me in the week leading into having my period, I don't think it's an emotional eating thing, but I definitely crave tons of sugar,
sure,
specifically chocolate,
yes,
salt, mm-hmm, specifically chocolate and salt together.
Yeah.
So does that count as emotional eating since our hormones may make our feelings change during our cycles?
It's funny because I never really looked at it that way. I think I was thinking in my mind more of examples of my current clients, mm-hmm, where, you know, I have a current client that just lost her husband, and you know, at night she's super upset and sad, mm-hmm, and she uses food to like kind, mm-hmm, of shove down those emotions. And, mm-hmm, and that's what I was thinking more, but that could fall in the category. It's so natural for us to have cravings around our period, but I don't know if I would put that in the emotional eating category. Mm-hmm. I think
okay,
it's open, but
okay,
yeah,
no, that's fair.
Yeah. People are like, I'm not an emotional eater. I'm like, well, when you celebrate something, what do? They're like, oh, I go out and drink and I have cake and all that. And that does fall into emotional eating. But I think when we think of this, we think of more sadness and boredom type thing.
Ooh, I definitely eat when I'm bored, or I don't watch TV a whole lot, but if I'm watching TV, I automatically want something in my
mouth. And that's like food by association, because then your brain remembers, oh, I'm watching TV. Ooh, I want food. And so getting into that habit is, it's not the best. And so I help clients kind of work through that. Let's see, what are we missing? We had emotional, overeating, forgetful. Oh, the grazer, of course, which I feel like so many of my parents fall into, just because we don't pre-plan. We're just grabbing things as we go, and we're eating our kids' leftovers and all of that. And so, you know, that's like picking throughout the day, right? Little things here and there, not really any meals, kind of just like grabbing little things throughout the day. So many people fall into that category as well, especially as a busy parent. So
absolutely. I know that there's a way that you can eat and you can blend different types of food to really help you. So tell us how we can manage all of these different snacking types better.
Yeah. Well, I actually do just want to mention one thing before we dive into that, because I get the question all the time, like, well, is it better if I eat 6 small meals a day or should I just eat 3 meals? And there is no right answer. There's no scientific evidence that says you're going to be leaner or have more energy if you eat small amounts throughout the day, like small meals, or 3 square meals. And so I really try to convey to my clients that you really have to understand who you are. If you're an overeater, putting yourself in front of food 6 times a day might not be the best solution for you, you know? And so it really just depends on who you are. And I think it's important to think about, is it realistic for me to have 6 small, nice, healthy meals a day? Or is it more realistic for me to be like, I'm just going to eat 3 square meals, maybe 2 snacks? You have to know.
But they will be the best possible meals.
Exactly. And so you just have to know who you are and know that there's not one right way of doing anything. However, to answer your question about kind of the combinations of foods and what's going to really keep us full, satisfied, and energized, I like to talk a lot about protein and fat. So protein is that macronutrient that's going to keep us full for a long period of time, as opposed to eating, let's say, a carbohydrate. And there's a diagram that I really like to draw about blood sugar, because one of the things that we want to do is make sure that our blood sugar is stable throughout the day. We're always aiming for a stable blood sugar. We really don't want to be on a blood sugar that's up and down like this, because not only are we up in mood and then crashing and up in mood and then crashing, chronic elevated blood levels leads to heart disease and weight gain. And so we really just want to keep that blood sugar stable. And there's certain foods that are going to do that. And I like to draw a little diagram here so that you guys can understand.
It's so, like the Rocky Mountains.
I know, right? Look, so let's say that this line is your blood sugar line, right? It's very nice and stable. First thing in the morning, if we eat carbohydrates that are processed, let's say you eat a slice of white bread, or you eat cereal, or even like
a muffin
or a scone or something like that. Or another one is fruit. Yes, fruit is good for us, but we don't want to put 5 pieces of fruit in a smoothie, because what are those things going to do? Elevate our blood sugar levels, right? Those things get digested in our body very quickly. So then we crash, right? And then we're up in blood sugar and then we're down. Mm-hmm. And then as the typical, you know, standard American diet, we're going to look for something that's really super convenient, like maybe a granola bar that might have a lot of sugar in it. And then what happens? We're back up. And then we're back down. And so we want to be even keeled.
What I do is every time I dip back down, I'm like, caffeine, give me some caffeine. And then I feel like it gives me shorter and shorter boosts as the day wears on. So by the end of the day, the caffeine isn't even working anymore.
So what foods are going to keep our blood sugar really nice and stable? I always, in my opinion, proteins and fats. Every time we eat, we will get a little elevation in our blood sugar, but we don't want that big spike. And so proteins are just, you know, chicken, eggs, fish, meat. There's dairy protein, there's protein shakes, along with some fat. So like a breakfast that I really love to have is eggs for protein, a good quality eggs with some avocado. And then you have some good fat, you have your eggs, and you're not going to spike your blood sugar. You could even throw in some berries. A tip that I always give that I want to give to you guys is, if you're going to eat carbohydrates, and they're totally fine, but you want to eat the good whole grains, right? So jasmine or brown rice or quinoa or barley or farro, even with those, you always want to pair it with some protein or fat, because what that's going to do is that is going to prevent that spike in your blood sugar. If you eat a lot of fruit or any of those carbs I just mentioned on its own, it's really going to spike that blood sugar. And to instead of spiking to here, if we pair it with protein and fat, it's going to go to here. And that's going to be a lot better for our blood sugar, for our insulin levels, for sustaining our energy, and keeping us from crashing.
Now, you might be going into this later, so feel okay. free to say, no, Leah, we're going to talk about this later.
Okay.
But I know quality of fats and quality of proteins is mm-hmm. really important mm-hmm. either. So is now a good time to talk a little bit about grass-fed meats or healthy
fats? That's a big topic.
It is a big topic. So if you just want to touch on it briefly, because I know we could talk an hour just about food quality.
This was kind of part of the snacks that I wanted to share with you, but I think it's just a good time to kind of bring it out since you mentioned it. People mention yogurt, right? And should I be eating yogurt? And that answer is depends on how dairy makes you feel. Mm-hmm. However, if you are going to eat dairy, I always recommend that you go 100% grass-fed organic dairy, because dairy comes from cows, as we know. And if those cow, if it's not organic and grass-fed, it's going to have a lot of hormones and antibiotics in it. And so we want to go a grass-fed yogurt and also grass-fed cows. So if you are buying, you know, ground beef or steak or anything like that, grass-fed is going to be your best bet as opposed to conventional. If grass-fed is too far-fetched for you as far as price goes, the next best is just going to be pasture-raised.
Okay.
Yeah, that and that's as far sense. As meat goes. Chicken is super important to be organic because of how they're treated. Mm-hmm. So if you can buy organic chicken, that quality, it's going to just do wonders for your gut, and you're not going to get those antibiotics.
You can see the difference just in how chickens are raised with the egg. So mm-hmm. if you just get a conventional egg mm-hmm. from the grocery store and you mm-hmm. crack it open next to an egg from a chicken that's been pasture raised,
like eggs.
One yolk mm-hmm. of the conventional egg is super, super light yellow. And then you crack open the egg.
It's like this vibrant yumminess.
Yeah. It's like the center of a Cadbury egg where it's like, mm-hmm. but healthier,
yeah.
where it's like dark yep. and rich.
Mm-hmm. And same thing goes for fish. If you're going to do fish, I always recommend wild caught. There are certain fishes I recommend over others. Wild salmon, sardines, mackerel, oysters, mussels, but things like halibut and tilapia, you know, those fishes are really bottom feeders. So those fish are going to have more, unhealthy bacteria and mercury and things like that.
Well, and sardines would be a great quick snack because you can grab them in like the small cans.
Yeah. If you like sardines, you know, they're very acquired taste, but you can grab them in a can with oil is going to be your best bet. It's a good source of protein, and you're also going to get some good fat from the oil. One snack that I really like is this, it's jerky. It's called New Primal Beef Stick. It is grass-fed. So that's just in line with, it's 100% grass-fed beef. So that's just in line with the food quality.
Mm-hmm. And you guys, we'll put together some pictures or a graphic that has all of these really great snack options that Julia has picked and I'll post them in the group so that you don't have to worry about trying to remember.
The combination of proteins and fats mm-hmm. are really good to keep your energy really sustained mm-hmm. and keep you from crashing, because nobody wants to, you know, mm-hmm. a couple of times a day be like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Granted, you want to be getting good sleep and you know, exercising if you can. Mm-hmm. But as far as what we can do on the nutritional side to keep ourselves alert, awake, energized, is eating lots of proteins and fats together, keep our blood sugar stable, and then sprinkling in some of the good carbs in conjunction, but not on their own. If you're a grazer, you don't want to really be grabbing, you know, your kid leftovers or a granola bar that could have a lot of sugar or the M&Ms that are in the bowl. You know, if you're grazing, a good option would be, you know, maybe a little trail mix that you put together with some nuts, you know, just different varieties of nuts, and really get some of those good omega-3s, some a little bit of omega-6s. So, you know, trail mix, not the ones you buy with like the sweetened cherries and the peanut. Yeah. Because that is sugar, right? Mm-hmm. And it's added sugar typically. So it's going to spike our blood sugar. What I might recommend though is a trail mix with all a variety of nuts and maybe a couple pieces of dark chocolate in there, you know, to keep us satisfied, but also prevent us from getting any spikes. So if you're grazing, that trail mix is a good option. Mm-hmm. You just want to be careful with the portions because it's easy to overeat nuts.
Okay.
Okay.
So if we're talking about good fats and good proteins, those are really useful for all of the mm-hmm. eating groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, even if you're an overeater, right? Because it's hard to really overdo good fats and proteins. Mm-hmm. What we tend to overdo is the carbs, mm-hmm. right? And so we want to make sure that we're sprinkling those in throughout the day in conjunction.
But if you're eating carbs alone, like you just don't really feel super satisfied.
Right.
Or at least mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's also good for that overeater because it's hard to overeat fat.
Okay. And same for the grazers too, because if you have the healthy snacks around, then you're always putting
exactly
the healthy snacks in as opposed mm-hmm. to cookies.
And the trail mix is good because you could leave it right on the table so that you see it.
For the forgetful eater then, we had been talking prior a little bit about having good reminders mm-hmm. to eat. And I know mm-hmm. something that you, a service you provide for your personal clients is that you will actually, while they're getting started, reach out and remind them to eat. But we don't all have a nutritionist in our pocket to remind us to eat.
Right.
So what would be some good things that busy parents could do to help them remember, if they're a forgetful eater, to remember to eat throughout the day?
I think a lot of it comes down to mindfulness, Leah, because we're so busy that we're not always really thinking about it. But I think that if we can take the time to think about, okay, what do I have going on tomorrow? Okay, I'm going to be home. All right, let me leave this snack on the counter so that I visually see it out of the corner of my eye so that it reminds me, oh yes, I need to eat. Mm-hmm. And another example, sorry, of snack that I really do like that you could just leave right on the counter is a package like this almond butter, because you could just grab it and eat the whole thing with a small apple. Now, yes, you're pairing carbs, but you're having that fat with it. So it's not going to spike that blood sugar, but leaving this right on the counter so it's in corner's eye is a really good way to remind yourself. You have to remember to get it out and put it on the counter.
Maybe put all the cookies away in the freezer and just put all this kind of stuff in the cookie jar. Yeah.
And it's a fact that if it's in our eye, we're more apt to eat it. So if you put chips and stuff on the counter, you're going to grab that first. And that's why I replace with things like this right on the counter so that it's there and ready to go.
Well, and I know as a busy parent, like these kinds of things are what I like to have around a lot because we're running out of the door for gymnastics mm-hmm. or we are
throwing your bag and
we're running out the door to go to swim lessons mm-hmm. or whatever we're going to do. So not only is this something that I can eat, but the apple is it's nature's perfect packaging. Like you can just grab it and throw it in the bag. And my kids love apples. Mm-hmm. So I know that they also make peanut butter, which is also a good protein. So my mm-hmm. kids would eat this with peanut butter in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And again, just to go back to quality for a second, I will share with you guys every year they come out with a list of clean 15 and dirty dozen. So if you can't buy everything organic, at least the things on the dirty dozen list, you want to stick with organic. Mm-hmm. And this year there's only like maybe 8 things on that list. So just when it comes to produce.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I think another tool that sometimes I do with my clients is have them set an alarm. And I love to encourage intuitive eating and not setting an alarm to eat, because what if you're not hungry? Mm-hmm. However, if you are the forgetful eater, it really is good in the beginning to get yourself used to eating. And so mm-hmm. setting an alarm might not be a bad idea. But again, being mindful of having these things ready to go so that when that alarm goes off, you're like, oh, it's right on my counter. Grab it, go.
Yeah. Should people be planning their snacks like a week in advance like they do their meals?
I don't know, because what I've normally seen is clients are like, well, I don't want to do it a week in advance. What if I don't want that day?
Right.
You know? So I think a good tool is the night before, you know, kids are down, they mm-hmm. go to bed, you have a little time to relax and rest. And I think, no time to relax or rest.
Okay. I don't know if we would necessarily call it relaxing, but we do take that time when our kids are down in bed to prep for the next day, because I really count my night before as mm-hmm. part of my morning mm-hmm. Routine mm-hmm. because the night before makes all the difference in how the morning goes. So,
I mean, I do think maybe not a week in advance, but on a Sunday, if that's mm-hmm. the day that you go shopping, mm-hmm. you do need to think about like, okay, what snacks am I going to pack for them? What do I want for myself this week? Make sure they're on hand.
Okay.
And then the day before you could be like, okay, I have like 4 different options. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do tomorrow?
Emotional. Did we cover emotional eating? Is that a mindful thing?
Yeah, I think it's such a big topic. So many clients are emotional eaters, and I really try. It's hard, and it takes time to change and all of that. I guess this falls in overeating too, but I like to encourage people to try and eat to 80% full. And people are like, Julia, what does that even mean, right? So 80% full is a place where you feel food in your stomach. You could continue to eat, but you're satisfied and feel good. So it's not a place of like, oh my God, I'm so full. You probably could still eat, but it's stopping at that point, really being mindful of, okay, I feel that way. I don't need to finish my plate. I can eat the rest later. So 80% full, it's an art, it's a practice. But I like to encourage the overeaters to think about that. And also emotional eaters, because emotional eaters can tend to overeat.
And so much of these are habits that have been instilled in us from childhood. Like I know that I was always taught to be a clean plater. And I'm still a clean plater.
And the thing is that that's so deep rooted in us. Yes. And I have so many clients that are like, if I don't finish my plate, I have like fear of missing out. And it's something we really need to explore. But these are just some small tips.
Eat everything on your plate if you want dessert. So there's all kinds of habits that have been instilled in us really since childhood.
Yeah. And that's tough because it takes time. The other thing is that eat in a way that you guys feel satisfied. So don't eat bland grilled chicken and vegetables if you don't enjoy it. Maybe you have that with some cheese sprinkled on top, or maybe you cook your vegetables in butter, because in order to sustain something for the long haul, you've got to enjoy what you're eating. And so if you were to say on a scale of 1 to 10, I like to encourage clients to be at 7. And that doesn't mean to go out and eat burger and fries, because you don't actually feel that good after that normally. But it's about what small thing can I add to my meals to bring up the satisfaction, but that's also going to still push you in the direction of your goals.
That's actually one of the messages I love about following you on social media is you embrace the cheating on your diets. You embrace the having those little things that really satisfy you and that you really crave every so often. I know you and I recently went out and did a networking thing. And we went to this place where they had kind of the equivalency of a food truck show up to this place. And there was this amazing like pulled pork sandwich with a big white like potato style bun. And I know that that big white bun was not good for me, but I was like, you know what? I've been eating really well all week. I had even been, because I was preparing for this workshop, I had been so much more mindful of what my snacks had been. So I just went for it. And I hate the whole darn sandwich.
Yeah. And the thing is, we need to get out of the mindset of black and white. So if you're someone that like feels like you're on a diet and then you eat a cookie and you're like, oh my gosh, I ate a cookie. I messed it up. I might as well eat whatever I want and start again tomorrow. That is not a realistic way of living. I feel like one of the first steps in helping emotional eaters is, can we pre-plan what your snack is going to be? If you're, let's say you're an emotional eater at night, what can we pre-plan so that your snack is a healthier snack? I think that's a really good first step instead of telling somebody like, okay, forget it all. You can't have anything, right? I think like currently with a client, you know, her hard time was at night and she was eating, you know, sweets and then chips and then going through the round, you know, the circles. And so what we did was we said, okay, here are your couple of options to switch to. So you can still have that hand mouth motion, but you're still, but you're nourishing your body because you're making a good choice.
That's smart,
and I think that's a really good first step than just saying no more, because then we just want it more, you know?
There's another good question here actually from somebody in the group. She said, how about those who are so used to dieting and limiting themselves around food that they can't remember how to start nourishing their bodies?
Yeah, that is such a great question. My clients are all coming from the background that you're coming from. They're the yo-yo dieter that has been on and off every diet that you can imagine, and they're on a diet or they're off, and they don't know what that in between looks like. And that's something I really help them with, but it's really hard to pinpoint how to start doing that. I think a good first step is just, you know, figuring out why are you always on a diet? What is it that you're looking to achieve other than I want to look better? I want to be healthier. I encourage you to really dig deep. And once you figure that out, and let's say it is weight loss and you really do want to lose weight for health purposes, feeling better, energy, all of that, a good place to start is making a list of the foods that you really love that you don't want to give up and that you always feel restricted that you can't have it on a diet. Make a list of those things and be like, how can I incorporate these things into my day in a small way?
Or figuring out healthy versions. Because a lot of times if you make those things from scratch, you can use all the healthy ingredients to make it yourself. So you're still satisfying that urge without sacrificing the healthy ingredients.
And I really, really think that it's a mindset shift. It's a huge mindset shift. If you've been on a diet or off a diet your entire life, the mindset shift of like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight and I can still have a little bit of that. What? People don't realize that you can find a middle ground, but it does take work, and it takes sometimes having that accountability.
Well, and I love, Julia, that you post on your social media people's like their own testimonials. Like, she has clients that will actually text her and be like, oh my gosh, it's been 6 months down the road and I've been able to maintain the weight loss. Mm-hmm. And so finding these blends of foods that work for you and having the little bit of the cheat so that you're still satisfying the things that you really enjoy eating, it sustains you for the long haul. Mm-hmm. So on that note, this is all about snacks.
Yeah.
This workshop. I know we talked about meals also, but Julia brought in some of the snacks that she really enjoys eating that really help her stay on track. And then I have some of my snacks that she's going to be like, oh, these are good. These could be better. And just share with us what some of my two go-to snacks for myself and my kids are and kind of break down those for me. So do you want to start with your stuff?
Do you want to do that? Okay. Well, I think I already shared with you guys the apple and the almond butter. I think this is a great go-to snack. Again, fruit is a carbohydrate, but it's a good one in moderation. And when I say that, you know, you just don't want to eat 10 pieces of fruit a day because it will elevate blood sugar. However, you've got your handy dandy good fat to pair with it so that it doesn't elevate blood sugar quite as much. Then we've got this beef stick I already showed you, good source of protein. And as I said before, protein is the one macronutrient that's going to keep you full for the longest period of time. Leah did mention your vegetables and your hummus. So this is really good for a grazer because if you just like to munch and crunch a lot, vegetables are not going to harm you. I promise you. People sometimes look at the carrots and like, oh, aren't carrots high in sugar? I'm like, that's not the problem. So you're fine to eat a whole array of vegetables, think different colors. Hummus, it has some great fat in it. It's made from chickpeas typically, which is going to give you some good starch as well that won't elevate blood sugar. I do like this brand because it's pretty clean. There are some hummuses that have not as great ingredients, but I like the Hope hummus one.
Okay. Yeah. And speaking of ingredients, part of it is it has so few ingredients, right?
So it's just organic garbanzo beans, water, sesame seeds, olive oil, sea salt, lemon juice, and garlic powder.
So that idea that if you can't pronounce the ingredients, you probably shouldn't be eating them.
In addition to that, I love guacamole with vegetables. Mm-hmm. So you can make it yourself or you can buy pre-made guacamole, mm-hmm. which is really great fat with those vegetables. So okay. That's another really good one. But one of my favorite bars is an RX bar. If you can see, the ingredients are egg whites, almonds, cashews, and dates. It does have 13 grams of sugar, which is pretty high in my opinion. However, it's coming only from two dates. So because two dates have natural sugar. Mm-hmm. For this one, I usually recommend if you're an active person that this is good for you.
Okay.
If you're someone who kind of like sits around all day and doesn't do much, I might not recommend this bar. I might recommend a low sugar kind bar. But if you're an active person, this has great fat from the nuts, good protein from the egg whites. That's what I was talking about before. It's some trail mix. So you've got an array of nuts. We have almonds and cashews and macadamia nuts and a couple little pieces of dark chocolate in there. Sometimes I like to throw in some cranberries or raisins as well. But what you want to look for in cranberries and raisins is that they're unsweetened. And I make my own little mix. It's very satisfying. And you can have about a quarter cup for a serving, which isn't a lot, but it is filling. And if you take your time, then it will fill you up really great. So
just a quick question here. Do you activate your nuts? I think what she's saying is, do you soak your nuts? So I kind of feel like there's like a whole nother conversation we'd be having about ingredients. But I know that I, for one, definitely like to soak nuts because it reduces the phytic acid in them and it makes it easier for your body to absorb mm-hmm. nutrients. And I believe that, like, we think we've talked about this before and you also.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool. However, I get a lot of my clients are like, I'm not going to do that.
It's
more
work.
And I'm like, you know what? That's okay. It is okay. I get sprouted nuts because sprout is going to have more of the nutrients mm-hmm. in them. So if you can't soak and dehydrate, which is a great tool, mm-hmm. you know what? Buy sprouted nuts and you're going to be fine.
And we can talk about this more in the group if anybody's interested in about sprouting your grains and your nuts and what that means. We can talk about that a lot more in the group for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a whole nother.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother story. Now I have my Mama Jamba bowl of treats. There's a lot of times where I'm packing snacks for my kids or I'm on the go and sometimes I just don't even have time to make a sandwich to throw in their lunch. And so something that I like to get for them are these peanut butter and jelly bars from Trader Joe's. And I am putting a lot of other healthy stuff in their lunch, but like this kind of sometimes ends up being the sandwich that I didn't make. So I know that there's a whole heap of ingredients in here, and there might be a couple ingredients. Seems like I can pronounce almost all of them, but there's still a ton of ingredients.
So. Yeah, I think the less ingredients, the better for your health. That's just the reality of it. But I realize that for kids specifically, you need quick things. Is it the best option? No. I mean, there's 11 grams of sugar. And unfortunately, it's not coming from a natural source like that RX bar that I just showed you. Right. So it's added sugar. And typically when I'm looking at packaged things, a tip that I like to give, you really want to look for 5 grams of sugar and under if it's added sugar. Like even in tomato sauce or dressings, 5 grams of sugar and under is what you want to look for. And so I would say that this is a little high in my opinion.
Okay. That would be a really quick thing to check in your reading ingredients when you're at the grocery store, is just look at that sugar content. Mm-hmm. And be like, ooh, it's over 5 grams. Right. That could be an immediate.
Now, if it's natural sugar, right, like a piece of fruit, this is going to have more like maybe 8 to 10 grams of sugar, but that's fine because it's naturally occurring.
And there's fiber with it.
And there's fiber, yeah. Right. But even when naturally occurring, like this RX bar, you don't really want to go more than, 15 grams because mm-hmm. It still will spike blood sugar. Okay. But yeah, so let me just give you an example. So like brown rice syrup, that's an added sugar, mm-hmm. right? So that's not naturally mm-hmm. occurring. So that's how we know. The food label is changing as of July of this year. And moving forward, it's going to say total sugars, sugars added. So you're actually going to know how much of this product is added sugar and how much is natural. And that's going to be really helpful.
Awesome. I also love apples. I like to get these little tiny baby yep. apples because I can just throw them in the lunchbox or throw them in for my kids and I don't have to cut them. I don't have to prepare mm-hmm. them. And if I pack a big apple for my kids, half of the apple comes back and then nobody want to eat the rest of that apple.
Yeah.
So I get the small ones. I also pack mandarins as a yeah. quick, easy go-to snack.
I
but would
those.
You say we should probably be eating some nuts with them?
I would recommend, if you're going to eat, two of these or grab, I think you might have a string cheese in there, which is a good, quick, easy snack. Yes, it's not 100% raw cheese and all of that, but it's a really good go-to, easy grab and go. So I think this and this together is a wonderful snack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Something else, a shortcut that I do as a busy mom is I actually don't hard boil my eggs as much anymore. I'm actually
yeah.
buying them pre-packaged. I know even at our conventional grocery store, they also have a cage-free version, mm-hmm. which I know there's some controversy on what's
yeah.
cage-free and
yeah.
whatever, but this is my shortcut that I use mm-hmm. a lot. And my kids love hard-boiled eggs, mm-hmm. and I can even pack them in their lunch with, I'll wrap up a little bit of Himalayan pink salt and some mm-hmm. saran wrap and, tuck it into the
yeah.
container with the egg.
Yeah, no, eggs are a great snack because you're getting 6 grams of protein per egg, so mm-hmm. you're getting 12 grams of protein, and then you're also getting the fat from the yolk that's going to keep you satisfied. Mm-hmm. So protein keeps you full, fat keeps you satisfied. Mm-hmm. And just to debunk something, we now know that eating saturated fat or eating cholesterol does not cause heart disease and does not cause high cholesterol in the blood. So you're fine to eat eggs. You're fine to eat a little bit of cheese, bacon, only if you're not eating too many processed foods.
Okay.
By the way. Yeah. So
all right.
Eggs, great snack.
My kids love roasted seaweed mm-hmm. snacks.
Yeah.
How is this?
Yeah, I love this. So I'm not the hugest fan of canola oil because typically it's genetically modified. So it's not in its natural state. So mm-hmm. it goes through a lot of processing before mm-hmm. it actually gets into the food. However, I think in a pinch, these are great for munching. I know I could eat 3 of these packages at once. So yeah, I think these are totally fine. And some of them don't use canola oil. So
okay.
that's fine too. But yeah, seaweed is a great snack, a great vitamin A.
And then we were talking earlier about the Laura bars. These were actually a little bit higher on the sugar level. And so what I actually buy is the mini bars for my kids. Not only will they eat the whole thing, but then they're also getting a little bit less sugar.
Mm-hmm. It's natural sugar, but this bar has...
As long as you're getting the ones without the added chocolate and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this bar is 20 grams of sugar. And yes, it's coming from a natural source, but I still feel like it's high in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really think that the mini ones are the best way to go, or half of this.
And the mini one has...
8 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be better. However, I don't, as a as an adult, I don't know how filling this is. Just for general health and all of that, yeah, I think it's a good snack.
Awesome.
I would potentially pair. Is there any protein in this one?
I think there is because there's peanuts.
Right. 3 grams. Okay. That's fine. I think it's a good, for health, I think it's fine, the small one.
And then something similar that I recently found at Trader Joe's is it's kind of like a Lara bar, but there's a lot more of the dried fruit and a lot less of the nuts. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at here is 13 grams of sugar for one piece.
Right.
But my kids love this as a substitute for dessert.
I think it's great because so apricot, you know, you're just getting fruit, right? And so it's like eating a piece of fruit just dried. The reason I think that this is good is because it literally is just apricot. Now, a lot of times dried fruit has added sugar to it. If you look at the ingredients of this, it's just apricot paste and almonds. So if that's what you want to look for, if it said apricot and then in parentheses, like cane sugar or syrup, then you know that you're not just getting the dried fruit. But I think it's great if you stick with one.
Julia was talking to me about my beef jerky. She said beef jerky is great as long as try to get the unflavored, because when you get the flavored, you're getting more sodium and sugar. Anything else to add about that?
No, I think, like I said, that tip of something like this, 5 grams of sugar and under, because it probably is added sugar. That's when you're talking about added sugar.
And my kids actually love beef jerky. So I will actually take like a half of a serving size worth according to what the package says and put it in a little container in their lunch.
Yeah, that or the stick is really easy. Mm-hmm. They also make turkey ones and different flavors.
And I'm also really lucky. My kids love broccoli. They love it when I roast it. And then we discovered this. And they're loving this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is it really is just
3 ingredients.
Just dried broccoli. So I think that that's totally fine. It's just broccoli, oil, and some salt, and you're good to go. And don't forget, broccoli does have a little protein. There's 6 grams of protein in there. So
that's good to know.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Julia wanted to help you all on your food journey. She'll basically be your 3-day food stylist. So we're going to put a post in the group. If you guys are interested, write that you're interested in having the food styling, and Julia will reach out to you. But tell us what that really means.
So what I normally do is I have you keep a food log for at least 3 days. Everything that you eat and drink, and there's no judgment, so completely honest. And then I would send you a form you'd fill out, you would email it back to me. Based on what your goals are and what you're doing, I will send you a little report of how you could make it a little bit better based on what your goals are. And, you know, it's tough because it's really easy to be like, eat this, don't eat that, and just tell somebody what to do. But I think the accountability part is so important. But I think that this is the first good step to at least know, like,
awareness
and mindfulness, and know some of the things maybe that you should change to meet your health and wellness goals. So,
okay. Yeah. Fantastic. That's so generous of you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Tell us where they can find you. You're definitely a part of our Facebook group, so they can reach out to you there.
Yeah, so I'm part of Abundant Parent. My Facebook page is Verve360 Nutrition with Julia Bresner. And then you can also find me on Instagram just under Verve360 Nutrition. And then my website is verve360nutrition.com.
Thank you guys all so much for joining us. You can find me on all of the social media. And if you're catching this for the first time and by chance you haven't been added to the Facebook group, definitely reach out to me and I will be sure to add you so you can take advantage of all those great resources. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Julia, for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thank you guys all for being here today. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can be the parent your kids connect with best, and that begins by giving yourself grace, love, and patience. Don't forget to go sign up for the Abundant Parent membership. New guests each month, online workshops with me, and group coaching whenever you need it most. Go to theabundantparent.com. You're going to want to click on the tab that says membership. I'm wishing you a day full of light, love, and abundance.